tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Stay woke, y'all. Stay woke. This is going to be an interesting one, y'all. It's going to be a good one. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Dear White People Netflix special, or series, I should say. My name is TK Trinidad, and with me I have lovely, beautiful,
Black
Ebony Queen co-host. Introduce yourself, y'all.
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm your girl, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom.
Hey everyone, I'm Ivana Williams, and you can find me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams.
And my name is Raquel Harris. You can find me on all social media at Raquel Harris TV.
All right, so has everybody seen the movie?
We have seen the movie. Yes. Absolutely. We have seen.
So what do you think of the first two episodes overall?
Oh my gosh, I was so in love, so in love. It highlighted a lot of issues within the Black community and also issues that the Black community has with the white community. So I'm, shout out to Justin and shout out to the 100% on Rotten Potatoes because that is phenomenal. So I'm loving
isn't
every it minute of
isn't it. Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes.
I thought you said potatoes.
I think you did that. Congratulations on Dear White People for getting 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I will say I am shocked because it's better than what I thought.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
My favorite part is that I hope I'm saying his name right. Juan Carlo Esposito narrated it.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know who he is, he played Bugging Out in Spike Lee.
His voice is so soothing.
I love his voice.
I was like, oh, yes.
And I loved him as Bugging Out and Do the Right Thing. And he's one of those, like, sad. He got no Black brothers on the wall. So
he's on Rebel now.
And he's on Rebel. And he's on The Get Down. Mm-hmm. He's on a lot right now. So I love that he was the narrator because it was just so fitting because it feels like you're watching a Spike Lee joint.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was definitely better than what I thought it would be.
It's clear that it's like a continuation, though, because we see. I didn't think we were going to get into her and White Bae.
Gabe.
As quickly, yeah.
Right.
So it really answers our questions from the film. Like, so what happens if she continues this relationship?
Yeah.
What happens? How are her friends and how is the BSU going to look at her once they find out that she's dating this white guy?
Yeah.
And it really answered our questions. So I like that they kind of jumped into that so quickly.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I like the opening quote that they had from James Baldwin. The paradox of education is that as one begins to become conscious, one begins to examine the society in which he is being educated.
Yeah.
I loved that quote because as soon as you start to wake up and you start to realize that the education system that you are being taught obviously has a bias, and the bias obviously is for the benefit of the white community. So
white and liberal.
White and liberal, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I had a Texas education, so it's white and conservative for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely, the Midwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Shout out, right. Because you guys grew up, you're East Coast.
East Coast.
And you're
Canada.
Up north. Yeah.
Canada.
So.
But my East Coast, I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York, but I grew up in Boston. So as I was telling you guys earlier, my education went from an all-Black public school to an all-white Catholic high school and middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And then my college was an all-white liberal all women's college.
That explains a lot about you.
Hey,
I'm just gonna all right. So
stay woke.
Before we get into all the characters, did anybody get a chance to like look on Twitter and see the backlash and the comments?
Oh yes,
and all
yeah.
I don't even have to. It just comes to me like the headlines are there.
But my thing is like, why are you upset about us? And Sam had said it in the episode too, like. You get upset because we're bringing... I didn't cause the controversy. I'm just highlighting it.
Right.
You're upset because these things really, really happen. And because you're not in the position who's being the oppressed one, you're upset because now that I'm telling you, okay, yes, this hurts me, you feel like this white guilt. And I don't understand. Like, it just... Like, imagine my life. I live this every day.
Yeah.
I should have the right to speak up about
it. Yeah.
I seen a tweet where it was a guy and he's like, oh... What if there was a show called Dear Black People? But I love because it was a white guy who retweeted him and was like, bruh, did you forget about slavery? And
also the opening episode.
Pull out my scroll. Here's all the things.
And she actually, and jokes on him, the gag is that in the first episode, they talked about the party being Dear Black People because it's a response to her radio show.
Yeah.
So you look silly. You look foolish. Yeah,
it's a lot of backlash.
Well, just even beyond that, you think of shows like Friends.
Yeah.
I used to love Friends.
And I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with it either. But I wasn't, I know there was coming towards the end of the series, people were like, well, Friends never has any Black people. But there wasn't like a protest for it.
It wasn't.
So it's just kind of like, okay,
have all these shows, and now we have a show where the title just happens to say white, and you don't even watch the show.
Exactly. Right. So you want to stay ignorant.
Yeah.
At least watch it first before you criticize.
Have judgment.
I would respect you more if you watch and you're like, actually, this is a horrible show.
Well, there were some people on Twitter that said they watched it, and they said it's, you know, it's just encouraging racism and blah, blah, blah. So, but let's get into the show.
So was Money for Trump. But okay.
Stay well.
All right.
Women's March. Okay.
So we open up with Sarah. I want to kind of almost get into the characters and their relationships, mm-hmm. and then that will kind of bring into what happened in episode 1 and 2. So let's talk about Sam and Gabe.
Sam and Gabe. White bae. Hashtag white bae.
You know, I thought they were cute for a minute. I thought they were super cute. I think it does kind of... It goes against what her message is, but at the same time, I was there for them until they got to the scene where he was like, "You got to get kicked out," when they were watching Defamation, mm-hmm. and he was like,
"Scandal,
the scandal we play off." Yeah,
that was awesome,
right? Yes. And so when that scene happened, he showed his white ignorance when he was like, "So what are you going to do? Are you going to hit me?" And he was like, "I should hit you for thinking that I'm going to hit you. Like, I'm educated, I'm civilized, just as you are. So why would I take it to that point or to that level?" And you're trying to associate yourself with the black hurt by saying, okay, well, I'm mad too, and I feel the same way. You don't feel the same way. You could never relate to anything that I'm going through. So, you know, and I do feel like Sam should have kind of saved him a little bit, because he did get dragged, and you just sat there and let him have, you know.
Don't you feel, though, that he was kind of empathetic to the issue opposed to people that don't even want to see the issue?
I think that he was empathetic, but his ignorance showed still. Like, I think that there are white people out there that really genuinely want to help and they want to be a part of the movement, but they still need to educate themselves a little bit further so they don't make those types of ignorant comments.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like him assuming that, oh, you're going to hit me. Why do you just feel that I'm aggressive, or why do you...
Like, for him
aggressive.
To say it to a black man, it was so telling.
Yes.
The best way that he could have showed support to me was silence.
And just be in there.
Yeah, take everything in, listen to what's going on, and, you know, just understand the situation before you have a comment on it. Or, you know, I mean, I like the fact that he was open to going. He was excited to go. He wanted to share that experience with her. And that's what matters.
Right.
But, again, you know, it just looked bad because your word vomit was bad.
I'm gonna let you guys know, because I know you guys are gonna like, what did she say? I'm gonna just play devil's advocate to a lot of these situations. So in that particular situation, could just take out the fact that Reggie was black,
right?
And Reggie was being aggressive towards him,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I feel like no matter who you are, if you're aggressive to me, I'm waiting for you because I can fight. So I'm waiting for you to hit me so I have reason to knock you out.
No.
Well, I'm just saying, he felt, Reggie kind of came up to, like, was at him, like, okay, you know, kind of giving him sarcastic answers.
But he was sitting back, he was chilled, he was laid back, he wasn't raising his voice.
I think with Reggie wasn't being super aggressive, but it wasn't welcoming.
It wasn't welcoming because why, he asked, why are you here?
Because wasn't it a members only. That's how she phrased it.
Right.
Well, my thing is, you should be open to, anyone should be able to come and watch Defamation.
Right.
That's fine. But I don't feel like he was aggressive. Aggressive is, to me, a very extreme term to use to describe how he was acting. Mm-hmm. Was he unwelcoming?
He was unwelcoming.
Mm-hmm. That's the word. But to say aggressive, no.
Because especially, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Because especially when Reggie's like, what are you doing here? And you actually do see someone who's here. And I feel like I was torn in that moment. I don't think Reggie was aggressive.
Yeah.
He just wasn't welcome. And I also think Gabe was a little ignorant, but he was there to learn and figure out what's going on. And I wish that Sam kind of spoke up for him a little bit.
Yeah.
But my favorite part, I love when she's trying to explain the situation. And she's like, well, you know, I'm biracial. And I love when her friend's like, you're not... she's like, you're not Rashida Jones biracial. You're Tracee Ellis Ross biracial.
Yeah. So I loved it.
That's one of my favorite quotes. Like, the world looks at you as being black. So I love how she tried to defend it. Like, well, I'm actually biracial, girl.
Yeah. Where?
Okay.
Because when you walk out the house, you're me. So that means nothing.
Because I know there's like a whole debate with people who are part of the movement and, you know, are here for black rights and they date outside their race, especially with black men, and the whole Jesse Williams thing is happening now.
I mean, you know.
I'm just saying, like,
and that I know, caught me off. No, it just caught me off guard.
I just know there's a lot of debates where there are a lot of, say, black men, for instance, who are part of the culture and they're here for black rights, but you see that they're dating outside of their race, or they're married to people outside of their race. Right. So I looked at the same thing with Sam. I'm like, is that a bad thing? Okay, can you love who you love but still fight for your rights? And
the thing is, I think that you can you be pro-black? Like, can you be pro-black and date someone who is white?
Or to any me, outside to me, it's your a race, conflict not even just
of interest. I think it's a conflict of interest. I think that if you're promoting everything black, mm-hmm. and then you come, it's like going to an AA and you're trying to talk to other people who are alcoholics or former alcoholics, and you're talking to someone who's leading the conversation and they've never experienced alcoholism in their life.
I know for me, I can say for me, I think the same way. Like, there's certain men that I look at. Mm-hmm. See, I'm gonna keep saying Jesse Williams, where I feel like if you're pro-black and you're out dating outside your race, and there would be times where I would have not a problem with it, but I'd be like, that's crazy. But when I seen Sam and Gabe, I'm like, oh, they're cute. So then I had to ask myself that question, like, wait, Nakia, is it a problem? Yeah. Like, because I know I'm pro-black, but I date outside my race, and I mm-hmm. have. I'm very open to it, but I love being black. I love my blackness. I would never let anyone disrespect that. So that's just something that I'm asking myself as I'm watching this show. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, is this something that I have to look inside myself too? Like, mm-hmm. can I be pro-black and be about my
people? I think at the end of the day, that person's treating you like the queen that you are, regardless of what race, color or creed they are, then I don't have an issue with that. Mm. Right. I think it's what we put. I just feel like it's this weird thing, because I do know women who look at black men like, well, how could he? And it's like, no, like, just leave him, because he might not be the best, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
hello,
he might be.
Like, let him go.
Let him go. And it's the same thing. Like, I know when I was walking around my first boyfriend, he was mixed, but he looked like he was white, and I got the most like weirdest stares, and I'm like, you guys weren't doing, like, you guys weren't hollering at me. And so now somebody's right. treating me like I'm supposed to be treated.
Yeah. And
now
you feel some type of way.
Yeah, now you have an issue. And, like, I don't have an, you know what I'm saying? There was never a question of whether I'm black or not. Nobody's questioning that.
Yeah. One.
But it's just kind of like, I grew up, my dad, I read books about Black Panthers. I grew up from the West Indies. I'm very in touch with black history and my culture and stuff like that. So, and on the flip side, on two, you can't expect somebody who doesn't know about black culture, only knows a little bit about black culture, to know everything.
Right. Well, see,
so you have to kind of give a little leeway as far as ignorance. And as long as they're willing to learn.
I'm not for ignorance either, because I feel like we're in a time where...
I'm not teaching you anything.
Well, I feel like we're in a time where there's instant gratification when it comes to learning something. Mm-hmm. We have social media. We have the internet. Mm-hmm. Google is your friend. You can learn something quickly and
Google
fast.
Is your that friend. Is my
right now.
Yes.
No, and that's why I'm saying I can't, there's a level of ignorance that I can no longer accept, right. because you are now in a time of information. Wherever you go, you can learn something right then and right now. So for me, I don't want to hear the excuse like, oh, well, I didn't know. And all. No, you do know. You have every single opportunity to educate yourself. That's it's the same thing.
I want to ask, how am I supposed to know? By researching.
Right? Yeah.
But it's the same thing with black people who don't know about Caribbean culture. There's
no,
a whole bunch of
absolutely.
Black people that didn't know that. Blacks in the Caribbean were just dropped off first.
But the
that's
difference,
black folks.
But the difference between that is that we don't have the sources to be able to educate ourselves also. In a lot of urban communities, there are more liquor stores and gun stores, and there are libraries and churches and a lot of different things that are positive that we need in the black community. We don't have everything because the government and because the society that we live in is more so for the benefit of the white community.
But now everybody has a phone.
No, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, okay, if you're black and you're living in a world where everything is not for you, mm-hmm. how would you deal with that, I guess? Like, how do you sit there and say, okay, well, if you have a white person and a black person, do I have to do 10 times more things to get ahead of the white person than the other person?
It really just depends. Mm-hmm. That's the school of thought. I definitely agree with it, but just depends on the area that you're in.
Well, absolutely. It does depend on the area that you're in, but I definitely don't feel like we're on the same playing field as a white
person.
Yeah,
our starting line is definitely different as far as, I went to this meeting and they were talking about legacy. You know, I have a lot of friends who their parents passed on houses and, you know, money, and this was generations.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting into, now I'm getting to the first generation where, you know, my mom's taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of, you know, the hours that I'm putting in.
Yeah.
But that's right. something that I'm creating now.
Well, no,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like we're definitely starting at a different starting line than
right.
a lot of other folks.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like, because I agree with that sentiment that black people don't, I don't think they take it upon themselves. Like, for instance, the one time that I saw history for black people going above and beyond and even going before slavery mm-hmm. was when I went to college. But yeah. I also lived in a pro-black family who taught me about Malcolm X, who taught me about other
it
people.
It starts at home.
Exactly.
It does. It does, because I went to this all-white Catholic high school, and I learned from my family about the pro-blackness. Yeah. And it was my family who taught me. And it's not until really I went to college.
Yeah, because, who bought me the book.
Yeah, I got all these books. And then when I went to college, I took all these African-American courses. But I'm grateful because it started at home. Because yes. my mother and grandmother were like, they're not going to teach you this in school.
Right.
Let me. And then I would go to my Catholic all-white high school and try to break it down. And then I would get in trouble with it. Like, that's not what's happening here. Right. So it definitely starts at home. Some homes, not all homes.
Yeah, we learn more about European cultures. Like, and because most of the time we here have like American history classes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they touch on European history more than they do American history, because that's not the only history that we know. And right. slavery, our history did not only start with slavery. Mm. So I feel like, yes, I agree that Black people do need to take it upon themselves to educate themselves further, but I also do not think, like you said, the starting line is way further behind than mm-hmm. it is for a white person. So not trying to give them an excuse, but at the same time, just taking all the variables into play and making sure that we understand the actual situation.
All right.
Stay woke.
So do you agree or disagree with the whole Sam and Gabe thing?
I think love is beautiful. Love who you right. want to love. Love who you want to love. But at the same time, for me, as an example, a white person, if I dated a white person, there's just a boundary. There's not a boundary, but there's a level of understanding and relation that I will not be able to have with a white person. And that's right. just reality. Mm-hmm. You can be sympathetic, but you can't be empathetic to what's going on because you can't relate to what I'm going through. So at the end of the day, if I'm going home or if I'm going home to my husband, that Black man will be able to understand my oppression, what mm-hmm. I'm going through at work. And that's not something that you can relate to. You can feel sorry, just like how Gabe feels sorry, mm-hmm. but he cannot relate to it. So there's always going to be that standing still where I'm like, okay, I want to be able to have this conversation with you and you not feel bad about being white, because you, regardless of you not being a part of it, like the slave trade, or you being a part of right. doing something in 2017 for hardships against Black people, you still, it's just going to be an issue. So for me, I mean, shout out to Gabe, and if he loves them, shout out to Gabe.
Gabe was putting in that work.
For sure, yeah.
Gabe was putting in that work.
Love who you love, but at the same time, I feel like that's the conflict that Sam is dealing with. And that's why everyone was mad at her. And shout out to her best friend for being there for her and saying, you know what, whatever.
Was everybody mad at her because she was keeping it a secret, or was everybody mad at her?
Because it's white, both.
Yeah,
I think it's both.
I think half of the folks were just like, well, you should have just, like, if you're that... that much of a empowering woman, like, you should be able to just say it
right.
and
yeah.
feel no ways.
You're keeping it a secret because you're embarrassed of
right.
it.
Right, and I think that's why people were mostly mad.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, it's like, if you were real, this is my man.
Yeah.
I'm pro-Black. He's in these meetings with me. Bae, you gonna learn. Like,
There's no Black power in white.
Right, and I think they just felt like they couldn't trust her at that moment.
Yeah,
because it's one thing to be private, but he was a secret.
Yeah. For specific reasons, because your cause was for Black people, and you know that message is going to be taken away now that we find out that... Well, I would have been mad at Gabe. First of all, why you post a picture of her? That's what I was mad at first.
Aside from him being white... Because she wasn't ready for that. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's our private moment.
He did the typical, like, move when someone's trying to ignore you and you're like, oh, Bae, #Bae. I'm like, oh, Gabe did the typical...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's certain rules. Like, do you think he did that on purpose in order to out her?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I just felt like it was just sheer ignorance. Like, what'd I do wrong, babe?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, you're dating a dude that's on your college
campus.
Like a camper
dude from California.
right.
Babe, but what's wrong?
Babe, what did I do? But then I'm like, you're doing the guy that's on your campus. It's not like you're leaving campus to go date a white guy. So you're on campus, so you're bound to get caught one way or another.
It's going to happen. It's going
I think
to
Gabe
out, yeah.
purposely did it. Because
do you?
I do. I think he purposely did it. But he's so, I don't know. I like them together. I just hate the fact that it was secretive, but I understand why she did it that way.
Yeah.
But I also understand why they were upset, because they felt like they couldn't trust her.
So, yeah.
I think he did it, but I think, you know, maybe I'm giving him more credit credit as far as being stupid. I think he did it not knowing the ramifications
right.
to all of that.
Yeah, because it's like, aside from you being white, let's start here. Why did you take a picture of me when I'm not even fully dressed?
He did a girl, not all, I was going to say he did a girl move.
It was a side chick move.
Side chick move. I said, Gabe, were you the side dude?
Yeah, right. Okay, and Reggie was pressed, okay?
I was going to say, I like seeing Reggie and Troy from the movie mm-hmm. now in the show. So I like that it's familiar and that they're here. And I just like seeing
faces.
Troy without a shirt.
Yeah.
So
oh, God.
Well, since you mentioned that, let's go to... let's talk about Troy.
Just saying.
Let's talk about Troy, Sam, and Troy. And I know, you know, we might be... you know,
dabbling into
episode two. But Troy and Sam, then Troy and Coco.
Coco's Calendria? How do you say her name?
Calendria.
Calendria?
When they spelled her full name out, I was like, oh boy.
And she's a part of the African American.
No, CORE. She's the treasurer for CORE.
Okay. Because they had the Black Caucus, when they separated them into like the conscious Black people, and they had the African American group, and that. But I like that Justin did that, because it does show the variations of Black people and how we all. Just like I loved how in episode two they touched on the Black gay male and how his life is in the society. So I hope that they kind of break it down like that with each episode, like talk about the variety of colors that we have within our race. So, you know, hey, I don't know. I mean, Lionel. I'm happy that they talked about that. I was very happy with Lionel's episode. I was, you know, I'm also glad that he shared that with Troy.
That's because he's in love with Troy.
But easily he could have been a Black guy that was like, man, you better get the hell away from me, da 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 da. And I love that there was a Black brother love. Like, yeah, you know what? You're gay, so I'm gonna hook you up because I know y'all particular about what y'all got going on.
I got gay vibes from Troy.
Really?
I didn't. Not like, maybe I'm very dark. Not that he couldn't be welcoming, but even that little group at the table.
Plays both sides.
Yeah, even that little group at the table that Lionel comes to sit down from all of them, because they were even saying like really derogatory things, and like I just felt like it was weird because I got gay vibes from that whole table.
You know what? I thought that Troy knew that Lionel was gay.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted him just to come out.
Yeah. He was like, definitely waiting on it.
Yeah.
It feels like at this time because they're sophomores, or some of them are sophomores. Right. It feels like this is not 10 years ago where that would have been an issue.
Yes.
Because, like, for instance, like, I went to Oregon and we had a gay football player there and everybody knew and it wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, well, see, where are you from?
Well, Oregon's very liberal.
Yeah. That don't happen in Texas.
In the Midwest, I was like, But, I mean,
I like that Lionel's, like, I felt like, I'm like, is it me? Lionel looks just like Troy after his haircut, like a baby mini Troy.
Like a little brother.
After his I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's laying on the bed doing what he was doing. And they pan up to his face and he now has the brand new haircut. I'm like, oh, he looks like baby Troy, kind of.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Troy? And it seems like he's in a rock and a hard place as far as straddling two worlds and, you know, wearing the mask and not knowing when to take that mask off. That's kind of what I got from his whole
thing.
It's definitely, this is, you know, what Black elitists go through. You know, it's I kind of see them juggle like the class versus race thing. Because in the film, you know, he was rich and, you know, tall, dark and handsome. Well, he's not really dark, but tall and handsome. And, you know, it's like he's trying to figure out where does he belong. And he's really struggling with that because he comes off bougie as hell to some of the other like woke, and you know, down to earth Black people. Yeah. But
their
then he fits right in
bougie
with his other Black elitist group. But he's not comfortable either.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. I felt the same way with Lionel, too. And I also felt the same way with Sam in the episode where she was walking past the... she was playing her, I guess, white music. Mm. And then she walked past the Black people and then she
turned it. And she
switched the station? That was me, though. That was me for a long time. I felt self-conscious about a lot of things that Black people deemed as too white or weird because that's not something that a lot of Black people do. I love anime. I love... Queen, I love Lana Del Rey. That's my shit and that's my jam. And until I got older, I started to accept it. I wouldn't hide it so much when I was a kid because that's just who I was.
Right.
But I was a little bit ashamed of it because I felt like I wasn't Black enough to do, or I don't know. I guess it was on top of me being light skinned, that stereotype, and then, oh, you like white music, you do, I guess, white stuff. You're not Black enough. So, I mean, I totally understood where Sam was coming from, and I hate that that's the way that it is in the Black community, because we should be more accepting of different things that we're into, because we're a colorful group.
Right. So when you were growing up, or when you were feeling that situation, was it predominantly white or predominantly Black? Like, what was the makeup of your school?
Oh, I had a Black ass school. So, yeah. I mean, it was, well, we had like...
Oh, you're so lucky.
Right?
When I was in middle school, when I was in elementary school, it was all white, Black, only white, Black. Right. And then when I got to middle school, Hispanic started to come along. Mm-hmm. And then when I got into high school, it was just Black, Hispanic, and then a sprinkle of white people.
Right.
And so when I was growing up, like, that's just what I listened to. I had a Queen album. I was Disney, that Disney kid. I played Kingdom Hearts anime. That was me.
Right.
But all my friends were black, and I just that was just what I was into. But the black people, if they would have heard me listening to something that they didn't listen to, it probably would have been like, why do you listen to that? And I got those questions a lot of the times, but I'd be like, I like this song, period.
I got that growing up from, like, If I would go back to New York or visit my family, I'd get the "you talk white" or
"yeah,
you like insane."
Oh,
I'm like,
talk white?
I don't talk white.
The
There's no such thing as
me.
That.
What does
so
that mean?
I got that growing because I went to predominantly white school.
Right. Yeah.
So when I would go home in my neighborhood or go back to Brooklyn, you talk like a white girl. That used to bug me because I'm like, there's no such thing.
Yeah.
So I definitely got that growing up, and I got the whole music thing because I was. Half of me, I was a super hardcore hip-hop kid,
yeah.
But I was also a TRL kid.
Same.
So
right.
I listened to NSYNC and Britney and right. Christina Aguilera.
I'm an eclectic, actually.
You know, in my middle school, I was lucky because it was a little mixed, but my high school, I was telling them outside, my high school was so, it was like the movie Bring It On. It was so stereotypical. Like, the white kids would come up to us and, like, rap lyrics to us. Mm-hmm. And it was maybe, like, 10 black kids in one class. And I definitely went through something. And I went to high school in the early 2000s, given my age. And the moment mm-hmm. where Coco says, not Coco, it was the young lady with the yellow. She's like, I thought only things like this happened in, like, history books. I had that moment in mm-hmm. high school. And I started laughing when I seen it because I remember my high school... Someone broke in our high school and spray painted, "We're going to kill all the N-words and the Jews." And I'm in school in 2000 and something. And I'm like, what? I thought this only happened in the 50s. Like, literally, when she said that, I started laughing. I'm like, damn, that's it's a moment I had in high school. So
Yeah, it was different for me because growing up is like Noah's Ark. Like, I've got a very, you know, I grew up with Italian culture, Portuguese, mm-hmm. Korean, El Salvadorian, like, it was, and then, you know, black people came in different ranges from different islands and right. stuff like that. So, you know, my best friend, she was really into rock music. I was like, all right, cool, like,
yeah.
let's go.
Fifi
like,
Dawson, is she from
yeah.
Canada? I'm sorry.
Yeah, she is from Canada. So it wasn't that much of an issue as far as, you know,
because you had that group.
Going through that gambit.
Right.
It wasn't until I moved to America that, you know, I got called the N-word for the very first time.
Mm.
That it's a very different
experience.
Especially coming from Canada. And,
coming from Toronto. Let's not talk about all Canada. It's a little bit different. But Toronto's, you know, very multicultural. So mm-hmm. I find my experience growing up was, you know, you didn't experience... Of course, there's racial things, but not to the level that it is here.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just find that, you know, it's just like, okay, I see where... You know, I see where that... The difference.
Did any of you guys have the moment... So there's a moment where Sam's in class and they're talking about slavery and all the white kids look at her and I...
Yes.
I used to have this moment in high school too where we would be like Huckleberry Finn or
I
Tom
had
Sawyer and all the kids are looking at you feeling bad and they're like, they mentioned slavery, are you okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, we're learning about history. Like,
and
when
that's
that
real
moment,
life.
When that moment, one thing I love about the show in the movie, it's real life. And these are things that I can relate to and I'm sure you guys can relate to.
Definitely.
That's why I love the show. I'm like, damn, I went through that in high school. Damn, I went through that in college.
And
that's
definitely in middle school because I was from a very, you know, all white area. And so in middle school, whenever they touched on slavery, like I would be the only black child mm-hmm. there. But I was comfortable because my parents already prepped me for that and they taught me about that. But I was still uncomfortable because I'm the only black kid in this white class. And
people would
feel
bad.
Yeah, the white boy would be like, I am so sorry. I apologize.
Like, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know what?
You weren't either, but thanks.
Yeah, and then
sure you do right by black people if you want to appear and apologize.
Okay.
And then when the teacher said that anyone has a special relationship with, I'm like, white people, you have a special relationship with it too.
Very special.
Right, okay, because you was there, right? Yeah, you was. But
that
no,
was hilarious.
I like the dumb question montage that they had with all the white people asking, like, so, like, are you know, can I touch your hair? You look just like so-and-so.
Yeah,
like
Beyonce or...
Yeah, and I'm like, and literally the touch my hair, oh, I do not understand. I don't get it. Like, why do you want to touch my hair?
It's different.
Hair.
It sounds like something. Do you see this hair? Do you know how many hands
in public
try to touch my hair?
But they were like, oh my God, it feels like cotton.
And I guess, you know, it's something, not to give them an excuse, but it's something different. And that's something where a lot of times I would never wear my hair like this because I felt so uncomfortable.
Yes.
So I started wearing braids. And then even with that, I got the questions. How did you get the braids in your hair? And
how long did that take?
I'd walk the streets of New York. I'd go to a bar and white guys would would always come up to me, oh my God, your hair. And I'm like, yo, please don't touch my hair.
But see, why? What, my hair is, it's hair. I go up to a white person's hair and I know it's your hair and that's, right. and it's different than mine, but I don't want to say, I don't want to touch it.
Right.
Like it's just, I'm not an animal. I'm not animalistic. I'm not a pet. So at the same time, yes, my hair is different, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that you go into someone's comfort zone right. and you touch my hair or even ask to touch my hair. Because why?
It speaks to white privilege, right? I mean, they're used to literally being able to touch something and have something
and people it'd be okay.
not saying no. Exactly. So whenever you tell them, no, you can't touch my hair, and they kind of get offended or like, oh, excuse me. Whoa, chill out.
Right.
Like, no, but don't touch me because I'm not a petting zoo.
Exactly. And I'm in... Exactly. I don't know. It's been, this show has highlighted a lot of different things. And I loved how in the intro, please remind me of how to pronounce his name, the narrator,
Giancarlo Esposito.
When he said, I have to speak in this monotone voice in order for you to feel comfortable.
Right.
That, when I tell you that's so true, like,
that's
our
everyday lives.
Yeah, every single day I have to be extra nice or mm-hmm. extra smiley in order for you to not think I'm aggressive.
Mm-hmm. I've been called aggressive a lot.
It's like, what? And on top of that,
especially at the workplace.
Exactly. Oh, especially at work. And on top of that, I don't know what scene it was, but it was when Sam was like, we're angry or something like that. And then I believe it was her best friend that was like, but we are angry. And it's okay to be angry because mm-hmm. that's a natural human emotion.
Yeah, allow yourself to feel that.
Exactly. And on top of that, we have every single right to be angry. So you're telling me that I can't feel a certain type of way that emotion that you feel as a human too. Mm-hmm. You're making me less human, which is the problem with a lot of white people. They don't view you as a human. They see you as, okay, well, I mean, they're here.
I guess.
Whatever. No big deal. Oh, she'll you do. Were offended by that? You don't look like Beyonce? Oh, okay. Sorry. Isn't that a compliment?
The show's very, very relatable, yes. I would say. I think a lot of, from both ends. Yeah. I think there's some white people who can watch this and be like, wow, I didn't know, like, me and my friends have said some of these things, or wow.
I'm actually seeing that. Those are things that I'm actually seeing, like, retweeted through Twitter. Like, listen, mm-hmm. white people, I've watched this. You all need to watch it, too, because we need to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, we need to learn.
I've seen a lot of white people on Twitter that's like, yo, we need to all watch Dear Black People.
Raw
potatoes and Dear. I've seen some white people that's like, you need to all watch this so we can learn. And that's what I like.
Yeah.
I like the conversation where at least just like a Gabe, like, you're willing to learn, sit quiet for a little bit and just learn and open up your mind
yes.
and
silence.
Understand, you know, we have some things to say and this will get to say, let us know how you feel.
Yes.
Like, let's all learn from each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Creating conversation is how we educate ourselves. I totally agree.
That's what I felt, especially with last year where we had, it just felt like a lot of, you know, racial things last year. We had the Oscars, we had the shootings, we had all this stuff. And it felt like, you know, everybody was talking at each other versus listening.
Yeah.
And listening to, you know, my son just died. My, you know, I just watched my boyfriend get killed. Mm. Like, take away the color and just say,
you're human.
Yeah, to put the human effect to it. And then ask the reason why this is happening, but it's not happening to your son.
Right. Yes,
you know, so
absolutely.
It just feels like people are not listening to each other. But on the flip side, too, again, to play devil's advocate, it just feels like, for instance, two situations. One, this chick had her fro out. My hair is natural, but you can't tell. Mm-hmm. I love froze. And I caught myself, like, and I was like, oh, no. Like, I caught myself about to touch her hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I've had a moment. I'm not going to lie.
I'm confused on what you're...
I'm saying that for some folks mm-hmm. who reach out and touch your hair. Of course you should say don't do that because that makes you feel uncomfortable. And I'll say that, too, when I wear my fro. But on the flip side, when I went to go and touch my friend's hair, who was in a fro, I realized that I was invading her personal space, and I'm black.
But you're not touching her hair because you're curious about what it feels like. You're not touching her because it's odd to you. You're touching her hair because it's hair.
I view it differently when a black woman wants to touch my
hair
because it's more like... I'm not sisterhood. It's more like I'm
not confused about your hair.
Because then we can share like products and stuff. What do you use in your hair?
Okay.
No, I'm serious. Like that's what it turned into. Who is your stylist? Where do you go to?
TK,
I can share that with you.
I've had moments like that where I had to catch myself as well, where I've seen a black person with like beautiful big hair or like coarse hair and it's beautiful. And I have a moment where I'm like, oh, Nakia, what are you doing?
Because
baby, what is you doing?
Kind of curiosity, especially if it's a different texture. Because, you know, let's not get into the 4Cs and the 2Cs.
Right.
I hate it. So it's a different texture from yours. And now, you know what I'm saying? So I think on some case in some cases it is a curiosity. And like I had a roommate, she would literally sit in my bathroom and watch me braid my hair. And it was a more I'm not even, you know. That's, and it was a curious thing because she didn't understand. She didn't grow up with, you know.
So she's white.
She was white. That's weird. She didn't grow up with pressing combs and stuff like that.
I had. Have you guys ever had a moment where? I had a moment where I was shopping in a Walgreens or CVS, and I'm in the natural hair care product, and a white woman comes up to me, and my hair was big like this. It was actually bigger. I cut it.
No, please, and don't continue.
Oh, this happens to me all the time, especially when I hear my hair like this. And she's like, excuse me, I have a black daughter.
Oh, I get those questions. Yes.
What do you think I should use? Now, when I was younger and I used to get these questions, I used to be like, don't ask me anything like this. I'm upset. Mm-hmm. Now I'm older and I will say I appreciate that she took the time to ask, to understand about her daughter's
hair.
That's
different. Yes.
And now I appreciate, and touch my hair. And we were legit at CVS having a half hour conversation, and I was walking her down the aisle. I'm like, this is what you use. Don't do this to her hair. And she's like,
did she show you her daughter's hair?
She did. And she's like, she's like, my daughter's hair looks just like yours. She's like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And after I told her everything, she's like, thank you. So I appreciate a moment like that because she was willing to learn.
Yeah.
No, I feel that.
You can tell by how people ask questions.
Yes.
They ask it either from a curious level or a question. It's not a question. They're just doing a statement, but they're asking a question. Mm-hmm. You can kind of tell. It's just like when somebody... it's one of those things where you just know that you know that you know. Somebody says African American, but they say it in certain ways. Like, oh, you're not really saying African American. You're just saying African American because I'm here.
Right.
But you're really saying something else. Like, you know that you know that you know.
I don't know why people feel weird to say black, though.
I love being called black.
Yeah.
I think it's confusing a lot
of people. It depends on the way they say it. Like, don't call me the blacks. Don't call us the blacks. That's annoying.
I will also say this. I think it's also with age because I have my great-grandmother's cousin. She just turned 100 years old. God bless her. Hey, Susie. She still says colored. Mm-hmm. Colored. And one day, me and my family were out to dinner. We have her. She was 99. She's 100 now. And we were at brunch. And she's like, oh, my God, the colored president, Mr. Obama, and the colored. And we were like, girl, you can't say, but you know what I'm saying? And it was so, she's black. Mm. She's black, but it's because she's 100 years old. And that's what they were saying.
Well, literally.
In the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
All of my mom, my dad, my sister, and myself all have a different definition, or not definition, but title for on our birth certificates. My dad has Negro. Right. My mother has colored. My sister has African American, and I have black.
Right. I think it's confusing.
It is.
Yeah. And, you know, now you're telling folks that, because I tell when somebody says that to me, I'm like, well, one, I'm not African American. I give them permissions. Like, you can say black, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you technically aren't African American.
Exactly. Right. But to me, it's like
I do the same thing. Like, I'm like, because I have African American friends, family members who are from Africa. Then I look at like the Charlize Theron, who is to me African American. So I'm like, I know my roots are from Africa, and I'm black, and I'm proud, but I'm black. You can just call me black.
Right.
It's okay. But I know it's confusing because...
African-American has several meanings.
It does. And I know it's confusing because even Donald Trump had this whole thing like, we should stop calling white people black.
That's an official thing
now. Bro.
It's now African-American it's like African month or something like that.
I'm like, if people are comfortable being called black, call them black. If they're comfortable being called African-American, great.
Yeah.
But
it's confusing because say you go to, you know, you talk to all of us and you're like, we're cool with black, but then you go somewhere else and they're like, you need to say African-American. It's just like...
It depends where I am.
You know, what do you do?
Definitely.
So, I again, it's just more on the devil's advocate thing. You know, we have a lot of things going on, and this is where conversations happen versus just taking bits and pieces from articles or what your friend told you or all this other stuff, which I think is the reason why, you know, Dear White People is such a great thing to have, but you know, you're having so many people around that are not even gonna, you know, look at it because of the name
and just judge it off jump and not even watch it.
That's too bad.
They're missing out.
You want to stay ignorant.
Yeah, you want to stay ignorant. It's just like, oh well.
And I hope that this show will bring more conversations with people, because this is such a great, it was a great movie and it's a great show, and I hope even the people who were a little ignorant towards it, like, I don't want to watch it, just take the time and watch and just understand where this show's coming from, and then let's all have this conversation. And
yeah,
watch it first before hating it.
Yeah. And that's I like how they touched on other cultures too in the second episode, mm-hmm. when they had she had said it in the first episode when she was like, I'm not a costume, and then they start highlighting like Cinco de Mayo and on Halloween, how they dress up as Native Americans. And my thing is, okay, because that's coming up, so I ain't got time for no dumb shit.
Because they'll celebrate Cinco de Mayo but still be like, build the wall on May 6th.
Okay. It's not black people that put on the hats and everything else and put on the costume. And I think to myself, do you not see how offensive this is? Like, you're literally so far gone in your ignorance where it's like, no, it's just fun, right? Yeah. Like, no, it's not.
I think some people know, they just don't care, and they want to see how far. Because I feel like after all the years of people telling you it's offensive to touch my hair, it's offensive to put on blackface, and people still do it. Not all people. I think some people are really just ignorant and they actually don't know. But I think there are some people who just really don't care and they want to see how far they can push it.
And the same thing with like Redskins, like. Is this not an offensive name for a team? That's terrible. I just don't, you know, but again, like you had said earlier, they're never gonna, if you point it out for them or if you put them in the situation, I know like the psychiatrist, Jane Elliott, she does that a lot with her experiments. And I love her. I'm so team Jane Elliott. No, she's phenomenal because she puts white people in the situation where it's like, they're going to be the oppressed ones. Yeah. And then they throw a fit, and it's like, literally, this is what I'm trying to get you to understand that other people go through.
So you don't like it when it happens to you, right?
Yeah. It's a great show on TV about that. It's called Shots Fired. Really great show. Just,
So we have a few moments to get out of here. I kind of want to leave it off to, you know, you guys saying, dare white people, what you don't like.
Oh, ooh, this is tough.
We have a couple. We have a couple episodes, so you know.
Yeah, let's see.
Oh man. dear white people.
While you guys think about that, I'm going to shout out the people in the live chat.
Yay! Hey guys.
I have done quite a few shows, and this is definitely.
Yeah, I wish we had a live chat up here so we could have seen some more.
We'll get it next time.
Yeah, I would say this is a lot of people in the live chat. Yeah, this is a lot of folks.
Y'all here for us. Thank y'all. Y'all are still here for us.
So I'll read off the names, and you guys think about it, and then after I'm done, you guys can. So Cornelius Baker, thank you. H. Kitty, I'm bad with names, so sorry in advance. Sam Jones, Montserrat, IMO. Like, it was, like, thank you guys for your comments. Make sure you comment and do on the iTunes, all that good stuff. Do 5 stars or better. We don't take anything else. Brando Young. So many folks. Like, thank you for hitting the live chat. Definitely
thanks for
appreciate
watching.
It.
Thanks for being here with us, y'all. We appreciate it.
I'm going to say, dear white people, why do some of you guys still not understand what Black Lives Matter means? Please. I don't understand why that concept has not been able to be understood. We are not alienating anyone. We are not saying that all lives do not matter, because all lives do matter, and that's the entire point of Black Lives Matter. Please stop talking about Blue Lives Matter. Stop saying that police brutality, like, oh, well, black people kill black people. No, statistics show that you kill who you are around. So if I live down the street from... What name did you say? Boom Chica. Boom Chica. We're going to use Boom Chica. If you live down the street from Jessica Boom Chica, whatever, that's the person I'm typically going to have beef with. Right, okay. That's just how that works. So if you don't say that black on black crime is just only starting, and then on top of that, we can go into depth with why black on black crime exists, but we can save that for another day. But dear white people, please understand that Black Lives Matter does not mean that you do not matter, because obviously you matter, because you are not being killed at the disproportionate amount that you are, that we are.
Say what?
Mine would be, it's not even a question, it's just a statement. Dear white people, please understand, not even please, but understand that we as black people deserve our own spaces, and we need our own spaces sometimes. And it's not that we're being exclusive. We're not, you know, gathering around to be like, you know what, we hate white people. It's not like that. But it's just it's a type of healing being around all of your people and to be able to discuss what it is that we go through every single day. There's so much power in that, and we need it and we deserve it.
Amen. I will say, kind of to piggyback off what you two said, dare white people, just because I'm pro-black does not mean I'm anti-white or anti-anyone else. I just love my people and I love being black, but I love everybody, and we should be allowed to love ourselves, because we don't receive a lot of the love from others in the media and out there. So I'm pro-black, but I'm also pro you.
Ayo.
If you ain't racist.
Okay. P.S. Unless you racist. Okay.
What? keep Reba, man. Always. Hey. First off, I just want to thank you, ladies. Beautiful panel. I'm looking forward to
the
next sessions. I just want to say, like, dear white folks, it's just like stereotypes. Mm. What you see on TV is not everything that you get.
Yeah.
I have a father and mother. They were married.
Okay, same.
We're all different.
Really?
We're all different. Right. We're not
college-educated, like gang. But yeah, we can squad up at the same time.
Oh, hey.
Gang.
Yes, absolutely. Black-educated and gang.
That's right. I like that. That's a good one.
It is a good one. No, that's seriously.
That's a good one.
But no, that is a good one because we do come in so many different colors. And just because I can also quote 21 Savage, I can also show you my degree.
Okay.
So one-dimensional. Okay.
Yeah. So I just want to, let y'all know. Hopefully, everybody who's tuning in, keep those comments coming.
Oh, yeah.
For my white folks, do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Please hit me up there.
Oh, yes.
For sure.
Dear white people, hit us with some questions if you feel like you don't know anything, you want to know something.
Dear white people, hit us with some questions. No, seriously.
I'm so legit. It's all about learning and being open. And if you watch the show, let us know how you felt about the show as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, Montserrat said, dear white people, we undocumented immigrants aren't taking your jobs. We're doing the jobs that you don't want to do.
Stay well.
Sleep. Got him. Hey. But you know what? Who is that? What's his name?
Montserrat.
Hi, Montserrat.
Yeah, get him in the chat.
Okay.
Get him.
Get him. Got him.
So, thank you guys. Really, really appreciate y'all for, hanging with us. We were doing episode 1-2, but obviously, that leads into a whole bunch of other topics that, I'm really grateful that we can talk about. We have a platform to talk about. So, shout out to AfterBuzz for allowing this stuff to happen. So, make sure you follow AfterBuzz on everything AfterBuzz TV. And where can they find y'all ladies at to send any hate comments?
Or y'all not going to send no hate comments to me. Give me questions. I'm here for it. But yes, you can find me on all social media at Raquel Harris TV.
And thanks again, everyone, for watching. I'm Ivana Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for kicking it with us. You can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom.
Y'all speak so proper.
Y'all speak so
proper. No, but that's the right terminology. We speak so proper.
Speak English the way it's supposed to be spoken.
Y'all speak so good.
I'll tell y'all a story after this. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. My name is TK Trinidad. You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. Ciao, y'all.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, you later. See?
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.